Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by Emerald Coast Coins, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm so excited to be joined this morning by Mr. Steve Gerlach of Emerald Coast Coins. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, let's see. What's today? Thursday. Yeah. The week's almost over.
That's right. Friday Eve is what I like to call it every now and then.
Yep.
I know that this year's been a long one. This month has been a long one, and we're coming up on a holiday. Are you looking forward to that?
I guess.
It's hard to say now. I feel like this recent spike is just putting such a damper on things.
I hope football still goes on.
Oh, true story.
Yeah, that's a big thing on Turkey Day's football.
Right? What are you supposed to ignore and fall asleep on the couch if there's no football
exactly.
on?
Exactly.
And so we were talking a little bit in the break. You like to stay home, or you have the house that the kids come to.
Yeah. My daughter and my son, everybody shows up. But, you know, we kind of cheat when we do Thanksgiving. My wife calls up Sonny's and says, this is what I want, and this is the fixings I want.
That's great.
And hey, we go pick it up the day before.
You say cheat. I say use resources wisely.
Yeah. It works great, you know. I mean, less muss, less fuss, not that much to clean up after, you know, and we break out the good China paper plates, you know, for eating on.
Oh, that's right, the heavy duty.
Yep.
That sounds fun. And I know your daughter's here. Oh, is that right, Stephanie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she'll be over?
Oh, yeah, her and her husband and two kids. Her 22 and 18.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So they do the cleanup, right?
Right.
That's what they're here for. That's good. And I know last time we were also, we were talking about your sweet sugar there, who's at the shop as much as she can be. And we have an update on sugar today. She's going in for her cataract surgery.
Yep, here in about an hour and a half.
All right. So everyone be sending all your prayers and your good juju for sugar.
Like I say, you know, one of the people that listens to this heard us talking about it, and he was interested because I guess he talked to his veterinarian, and it's, well, there's probably not much we can do about that, you know. And then he heard us talking, so, you know, you'd have to take your dog in for an evaluation. And we're talking about dogs again instead of coins.
You never know what you're going to learn.
You know, but anyway, you know, so he was very interested in it. You know, he called up before we even got through with the last show.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah,
I know. We were kind of kidding, but like, for your vet to give you a finder's fee or something, why not be?
he doesn't know about it. My wife never told him.
Oh, no. Oh, I'll have to tell him.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll. Sugar's at the store right now, so by the time I get back, she'll be getting there to pick her up and take her in. And I said she'll be there 10 hours.
You know?
And I think some of that's, you know, recovery time, and I'll make sure everything's good and everything, because she should be really good. The biggest problem is, you know, eye drops every 4 hours.
Oh, I gotcha.
Every 4 hours.
Wow. And how long does that go on for?
That I don't know.
Oh, I guess I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be probably close to a week at least.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know, because I just had a gentleman come to the store, and I was talking about that, I told him that's what Sugar was having done. He said, man, I just had mine done, the other one yesterday, you know.
And me too, Sugar.
So, Sugar be interested.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely be sending all the good vibes so that Sugar gets through that, you know, easily, smoothly.
She had a rough week. She had a surgery 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago on her back, and it got infected really bad. So she had surgery again last week to fix that and put a drain plug in where it had gotten infected.
Whew.
And put a drain tube in there, and she's had a rough 2 weeks, and now, man, when my wife takes some days, she's gonna say, what in the heck are you doing to me, lady?
She's gonna be getting her frequent flyer miles for the vet procedures. I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, everybody comes in, you know, they know Sugar. Everybody, that's the one of the first things they do is, where's the dog at?
Oh, gotta come see her. Well, and I guess we should tell people that you are the proprietor of Emerald Coast Coins, and it is right around the corner from our radio station here on Creighton Road. 1811?
Yes. Very good.
Got it. I got it in my head now. 1811 Creighton Road is where you can find Emerald Coast Coins. And Steve, this morning I saw in my little email newsletter, It's a really brief visual of the stock market, and it had a down arrow for gold. Is that something?
Yeah, it dropped this morning. I'm not sure why. I've been busy, so I haven't had a chance to look at everything. I just know it went down. And let's see how much it dropped here.
Well, and I know from our conversations that, you know, when I'm looking at that at 7:30, by the time we're speaking, it could be different again.
Yeah, it dropped. It's right now I'm showing 1860 on it. So, you know, and yesterday was like 1889. So it's dropped. Well, here it says 1150 change. But that's from the open this morning on the market. Silver's down 40 cents and platinum's flat. It's not done anything. Palladium's this 2200 bucks almost, 2175, and the spread's 2325. But no dealers I know will deal with the palladium because it's such a volatile metal. And what's it used for? I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask. I've never heard of, you know, a piece of jewelry or coins or anything like that. So it's a precious metal that's on the market like this, but not sure what it's used for.
No, I have no clue, to be honest with you.
Palladium. Well,
I think they make coins out of it too, some, you know, but man, it's so expensive. You know, and platinum used to be, you know, in that price range many years ago, and it's come down and never recovered. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I said, God, this is back. I was still in the other location at the time, and I bought some stuff from a lady, and I was paying like $2,200 an ounce almost for platinum at the time.
Wow. Did it go out of style, like with jewelry makers?
Jewelry's still used for jewelry. There was a trouble with mining it for a while there, I think. And I want to say platinum's using catalytic converters, too, in some of the earlier cars. Oh, geez, let me turn that off. There we go. I forgot to do that.
Hey, that's all right. They want to join the show?
Yeah, it's probably someone I don't know. So.
Oh, no. All right, never mind. We don't want to talk to them.
But anyway, you know, it was at one time used for in the earlier cars for catalytic converters. And that's a lot of times you see, you know, these people have been getting arrested for stealing catalytic converters out of cars. Not too long ago, someone got caught underneath a car cutting one out, and they caught them in the process of doing it, you know.
It's kind of like the people going in and getting the copper
out of the
houses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, but now, you know, you can't sell it without a license, you know. So yeah, they've come down with a lot of restrictions on it. So yeah, it's interesting.
Is that something that you ever see or pay much attention to, is the copper? I know that there were conversations in the last few years about, like, getting rid of the penny and
it's too expensive. It's too expensive. See, and pennies are actually zinc right now and copper-coated, but it costs more than a penny to produce it. So, you know, they keep talking about doing away with it, you know. And the Canadians have done away with the pennies and, God, they've done away with a lot of this. They're dollar coins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
We'll let them go first.
Yeah, they've already done it all, and it's so, you know, I don't know how they take care of the oddball. I guess everything is either in a 5 cent increments now.
I guess that would probably easier math.
Yeah.
For kids to learn.
Or they round up. You know, I was at the mall the other day, and one place there said credit card only. If you pay with cash, we round up, you know, to the next dollar.
To the next dollar. That's incentive. I know.
Yeah, because of the coin shortage that was going on, you know, and it's slowly getting over with it, you know. I mean, it was hard to get a lot of change at the banks right now. And it depends. Some banks get more than others, you know. So, but I'm pretty sure the coin shortage is over right now. I took a friend of mine's got a, over here, this way by north of the interstate. She has a liquor store, Bamboo's, up there. And she said, man, you get any change, I could sure use some. So whenever I get extra stuff, I take it up to her.
And so it's in, like, retail situations like that, I know I still see the little signs up that they're not, like, exact change only or use a card.
Right. You know, what's funny is they don't realize that every time you use a card, you know, they're paying a fee on that, and 1.5% to 3% fee. So, what's the trade-off?
Right, yeah, what's the difference? But was it really truly that just they can't get coins from the bank?
Yeah, the mint was shut down during the first part of COVID, which backlogged everything. And it's slowly been catching up. And, you know, like I said, it's not 100% up to par yet, but it's getting there. It's really close to it. So, it's a lot less than what it used to be.
Well, that's good. So we're kind of up and running. So the Mint is open again.
Oh yeah,
I guess,
most
so
definitely.
Been.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And that's, you know, like I said, you know, I get when we buy collections, a lot of times people have their change in it and they don't want to mess with it, taking it to the bank, you know. So we just buy it and then I just take it to the bank and turn it in.
There you go. That's so perfect.
Yes. And it's you know, and like I said, or like, you know, for Courtney and her, you know, they like set up there if they need change, you know, or I know any of my friends around or even the Tom Thumb across the street, I was there one day. I said, "You need some change?" She goes, "I sure use it." So I took like $30 worth of quarters and nickels and dimes over to her. And
oh, I bet they were happy
to
see you coming. That's great. Sometimes you just got to know a guy.
Yeah. Just walk across the street, you know.
Very good. Well, and so what else is happening, Steve, in the world of numismatists?
Coin show's coming up. Coin show. There's one in Foley coming up. Let me pull up my handy dandy calendar here and I'll tell you exactly when the Folly coin show. Boy, too many things to say. It's going to be January 15th or 16th and 17th probably. The big one is in South Florida in Orlando, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of January is the fun show, which is it's fun as Florida United Numismatists. And it's a good acronym for it because it is a lot of fun down there. I mean, you see stuff you never would have ever thought about seeing. The show after that is one in Conroe, Texas, which is 21st and 22nd of January, which we're setting up at that show because it's a really big show and it's a good show. So, you know, wandering over that way if you got nothing to do on the weekend. Of course, they've scaled back on a lot of these events, have scaled back in the amount of vendors they allow in there and the amount of people going in there and, you know, doing all the social distancing and proper safety precautions to make sure that everything goes, you know, hunky-dory fine, because in big gatherings, you know, that's what causes a lot of the spread. So, you know, just be safe.
You know, I was wondering about the larger ones, the one down in Orlando, the one out in Houston, right, is the Texas one, if they were going to make any adjustments or any changes, or if it's too soon to call with this recent spike.
They've cut back in the amount of vendors they're allowing in each one. You know, like the one in Texas, they cut it from, you know, 150 down to 75, and luckily I'd already paid last year.
That's good. Yeah.
and then they're limiting you. They, you know, usually, you know, you get dealers that walk around and wander aimlessly looking at different tables and stuff. They're trying to limit that altogether unless you have something very specific to do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an adjustment, you know, for everybody. But, you know, they're still going to have the collectors that are going to come in that want to wander around and shop, and they're going to have restrictions on them coming in. They got to follow all the PPE stuff to come in, you know, and that's, again, for everybody's protection.
Right. That's right. The whole mask up thing. And I love your mask. I think I've mentioned it before. It is covered in currency. Is it? It's bills, right? Not coins.
Yeah, it's dollar bills.
Dollar bills.
Tens, twenties, fifties, hundreds, you know.
I like that. It's branding. You
yeah,
know?
Well, see, that's like I said, that my wife had a dress made for the dog out of this material, and it was leftover material. And
perfect.
The dress is still around the house somewhere. But so we turned some into masks, which are kind of neat, you know. And everybody looks at me, they start laughing, say, "That's a good mask for you."
That is. It's perfect. I love it. It's right on message.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, have they announced anything about these coin shows doing any kind of virtual component? I know that's been a lot of people's solution.
That's hard to do because, you know, especially with coins and stuff, you got to get there. You have to look at them, you know. Just, you know, pictures don't do justice.
That is very true.
And you know, you want to pick it up and hold it before you buy it, make sure it is what it is. And heck, even the other day I bought some stuff in the store and a gentleman would come in and he'd cut some trees and this lady gave her some silver eagles and I bought them from him. I had my glasses on. They were all fake. It was like $300 worth.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, he said, you know, the lady had been saving them. I said, that's fine. It happens once in a while, but then we were busy and I was in a hurry and again I didn't put my glasses on looking very close. And
so how does that happen, Steve? Does someone have like a fake mint and they're minting coins that are not the true metals?
Yeah, it's called China.
Oh.
You buy them on eBay.
Really?
Yes.
So
they
it,
even say on there that they're counterfeit. They're not genuine.
They're counterfeit.
Well, they don't say counterfeit. They call it not genuine.
A replica.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So maybe I'm thinking about why those would exist. I'm thinking about like kids in school having money to learn how to count and that sort of thing. But
that's you know it's the only reason they exist is for.
It's just to rip people off.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry to hear that.
I know it happens.
That is a bummer. And you know, oh, we have a question for you, Steve. This listener has sent a text and said, hi, Steve's business is veteran owned, advertised. Can Steve tell us some of that story? Is that a story?
What's that?
About your business being veteran owned?
Yes. Yeah, I retired in 1993.
Well, happy belated Veterans Day to you, sir.
Yeah, I did 20 years in the Navy.
20
Uncle
years.
Uncle Sam's Canoe Club.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, I had a chance to hear the skipper speak yesterday at the State of the Military luncheon. I'll have to tell him that with Uncle Sam's Canoe Club. Well, and so. I'm curious about the backstory. So what you did in the Navy and how did that lead you to this?
I was a coin collector before I ever joined the Navy. And, you know, I'd had some stuff. And matter of fact, I had a coin that I had picked up. I don't know how long ago it's been. I worked at a drive-in theater. You know what a drive-in theater is?
I've heard of them. I wish they'd bring them back. They did it for a minute here in Pensacola. I want them to come back again.
You know, I was working a register, and we used to always look at the change, you know, and I found some coins that were kind of neat, and I kept one. Well, one of them, it was a 1943 penny, but it was made out of copper, which is extremely rare.
Yeah.
And that was back in, 1969 or 70, I found that coin. I carried it with me everywhere. I kept it forever. Well, when I was in Charleston, the ship I was on, we were going to the shipyard, and one of the guys that I worked with there knew that I had that coin, and there was an officer on the ship that was a coin collector, and he wanted to look at it. I showed it to him, and the only way you could sell that coin is to have it authenticated as being genuine. Back in 1977, there was only one place to do it, and that was the American Numismatic Association in Colorado, and it cost $50, a whopping $50. Well, 1977, $50 was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford that. He says, well, here's the deal. I'll send it in, get it authenticated. If it's real, I get a finder's fee. If it comes back fake, I get to keep the coin. And so it comes back unable to guarantee authenticity of this coin.
Oh, no.
So he got to keep the coin. But I still got all the pictures we took of it, x-rays of it, all kinds of stuff on it, you know. And I'm kind of thinking they might have missed that one, and I think I lost something that was good.
Yeah, maybe, like, I guess they must have false negatives now and then in those tests.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it back then. You know, it's a lot different today because, you know, the weight was correct for what it was supposed to be. Because if, you know, someone alters a coin, you know, you're going to lose weight. And even though it's only in grams, you know, it's enough to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the details of the characteristics of the numbers looked really good. And like I said, I got all this documentation in the store. So if this one ever pops up on the market, I'll say, well, it used to be mine and I got ripped off.
Right. And so the weight, going back to our conversation about the replicas, that's how different machines, like quarter machines and vending machines and things like
that's
how they tell.
They can reject stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, God, there's so much stuff that's out there. It's unreal. And, I mean, I had a lady come in one time, this years ago. Her son owed her some money and gave her all this silver for the money he owed her. Well, they were all fake, you know. Silver eagles, they were fake, and they were obvious. You could see that quite obviously. Silver bars that weren't silver. And a few other odds and ends. Well, you know, the coins, I call and report to the Secret Service. They say, oh, we'll have someone come out and talk to you. So they have a guy come up from, I want to say, Panama City, wherever they hang out at. And he says, well, we only deal in currency. We don't mess with coins. And I said, what do you mean you don't? No, we just deal in currency.
what would we call this?
I know. So I got in a vicious circle. So I called up somebody, and they said, call up somebody. And they said, look, call up the U.S. Mint has an attorney. Talk to them. So I call up, and she calls me back, and I explained to her what I got. And she says, well, there's not really anything we can do about it. I said, what? She says, well, you know, we just can't do anything about it. I said, well, I guess I'll go knock out 1,000 of these tomorrow and start selling them. And she goes, you can't do that. I says, what are you going to do about it?
Right? What do you mean? You're the attorney. You can't do anything.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, it's just, there was a recent article in one of the coin periodicals that said that the Secret Service doesn't get involved in that stuff. And I never replied to that article to tell them that they're wrong, that they don't. Now, it could be just the region type, you know, it could be regional. But I still have the coins in my safe.
Wow. How it's just amazing the stories you must have accumulated over all this time.
I got a bag of fake coins in my store. I mean, literally, even some of the older ones, you know, from the 1800s and early 1800s that are all fake.
Wow.
You know, but I have a nice collection of them, so I have a good representation of everything, too. But, you know, there's very specific weights for the coins, and there's a lot of other ways you can tell. And even though sometimes they can make a very good replica of a coin, there's always going to be some telltale sign that'll give it away. Even some look very good. Well, we got machines that we can test the coins for the metal content, the silver, basic silver or gold. You know, I think we paid $1,200, $1,400 for the machine. And it saves us, if you save buying one fake coin, the machine's paid for itself. And another example, I had a lady coming to sell me some platinum bars. They were in the packaging and everything, nice brand new packaging. And I put them on the machine and they weren't reading right. So, you know, there's a refinery that I do business with. So I took it over to them. He's, you know, I got a $1,200 machine. He's got a $20,000 machine.
Oh, wow.
So I took it over to him and I had him check it for me, and you come back, they were 98% copper and 2% platinum. But, you know, they were just very well made, and the packaging was just like the original packaging developed for those bars. And lady got very upset because she bought them at a pawn shop and said, well, you know, he sold them to me. I said, well, look, talk to him. I said, I guarantee you he doesn't know they were fake.
Yeah.
And she got with them, and they made it right for her because, again, they bought it. Well, they bought them in good faith from the people they bought them from, you know, and they didn't know, and they made it right for her.
Wow. And so eventually the buck had to stop.
Yeah.
And so now you don't have to send things out to Colorado for $50 a piece to get them tested.
Well, I send them to South Florida now, and it's still close to that today, though. But
with
it's
inflation.
Not, yeah, it's not bad, really. I send coins down there all the time. You know, South Florida is a numismatic guarantee corporation, and there's PCGS is out in California. Those are the two big certifiers in the country for coins, and it makes a big difference.
So there's this this whole industry, really, where y'all work together. Would you say that you, like, going to these shows and having these contacts in South Florida, that's like a network that like people could get into this if they're looking, I don't know, making a career change or something?
Well, you know, the place in South Florida and in California, they came about because, you know, coins, the condition is everything. The better the condition of the coin, the more money you get for it. So that's how that industry got created. And I'm going to say it happened in probably the late 70s, early 80s, right in that time period. And it just, you know, and plus, when it's put in a holder, they put it in a specific holder. It's a certified coin, and it's a hermetically type sealed holder, and it is what it is, you know. And they guarantee it with, they back their representation of the coin with money. So, you know, we guarantee what it is, and we back it, you know, with dollars. Now, there's a lot of other places that try to say that they are certifying coins, and they just say guaranteed, genuine. You know, well, anybody can guarantee a coin's genuine just about, but these, they put a specific grade on it, and it's called the Sheldon scale. It goes from 0 to 70, 0 being terrible, 70 being perfect. So if you get a coin that's graded at a 70, that's a tough coin, especially for an older coin. So there's a lot of new coins, you know, you get 70s common. They can, you know, mint makes really good stuff now.
Yeah,
back then, you know, when something was made, people spent it.
So true.
If you find some old stuff that's in good shape, it's worth money.
So, and we actually had another question come in just in the last couple minutes here. To this point, if someone has old or rare coins, should they clean them?
No. Under no circumstances should you clean a coin.
All right, so that's an absolutely not.
Absolutely, yeah, no, because that could devalue coin real quick. And we tell people when they call us up, you know, don't clean them, just bring them as they are. Because one time I had a young guy come in and said, I got this coin, you know, it's an 1893 silver dollar. I said, well, look, has it got an S on the back of it? Yeah, it does. I said, bring it on in to me. And I said, I'll give you X amount of dollars for it. Well, he comes in and brings it to me, and I mean, it's as shiny as a mirror. I says, oh, man, I said, it's worth not near as much as what I offered you for it. That's why it's so shiny. Someone polished it up and cleaned it. So I did that before I brought it in.
No.
Yeah, you went in back. This is how long ago it's been. It went from $1,000 coin to a $200 coin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So that's something to be thinking about. Yes. If you've got that shoebox full and you're not sure what it is, bring it to Steve first.
Bring it, call it in. We don't mind answering questions on the phone. That's what we're there for. We're there to help you out and point you in the right direction.
That's exactly it. And we've talked before about how if you're not the right person for it, you probably know the guy who is.
Yep, exactly. I know who to get in touch with. 99% of the time, I can get answers.
That's so good. And Steve, one more time, let everyone know where you are and the best way to get in touch.
1811 Creighton Road, 850-473-1515.